Welcome to Behind the Music, brought to you by the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra. Join us as we go behind the scenes with our talented musicians and guests to speak candidly about their musical journey and reveal interesting snippets about upcoming concerts. And now, here's your host, the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra Music Director and Conductor, Fuad Fakhoury.
Welcome to this episode of Behind the Music. I'm your host, Fuad Fakhoury. We are here today to talk about our last concert of the season, premieres and finales, and visit with our choir colleague at Midwestern State University. Thomas Schwenninger is the director of the choral activities at MSU Texas. He conducts the university choir, Midwestern Singers, and the Oratorios Chorus. Thanks for joining us today, Thomas.
Thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Great. Thomas, before we begin talking about our upcoming concert, can you please tell us a little bit about your biographical and professional background and how you came to Midwestern State University?
Certainly, yes. Well, I grew up in small town Nebraska. I was a farm boy from rural Nebraska, and singing was a part of my life from the beginning, whether I was out, you know, feeding the cows or going to church. Singing was a part of everything I did. And it was always tied to community. You know, it was always tied to this this concept of being with other people, whether it was family or friends. And so from a young age, I really believed in this power of music and communal singing. And so I chased that throughout my life. You know, I went and got a degree in music from Wartburg College, and then 2 degrees in choral conducting, one from the University of Nevada and one from the University of Arizona. And I pursued wanting to share this sense of community or create this sense of community everywhere that I went. And so that's what we've really tried to do here. Beyond just teaching here at Midwestern State University, I've also held position at Teal College in Pennsylvania, just north of Pittsburgh, close to Erie. So it was a very much a different a weather shock, a culture shock to come from the snow-laden lands of northern Pennsylvania down here to the windy prairies of Texas. But I've loved every minute of it. I love being in Wichita Falls, and I love teaching at Midwestern State University.
Oh, that's great. I did not know you were from Nebraska. Is there, did you have family members that were interested in music that sort of pushed you or encouraged you in that regard?
Yeah, my first instrument I ever learned was the accordion. I learned it sitting on my grandfather's lap. My grandmother sang soprano solo in Handel's Messiah. So I grew up around music, both, like I said, communal, hymn singing, pop music, and this kind of classical music idiom. I also grew up very close to Peru State College, and so attended their free concerts all the time. I had a very fortunate childhood, especially when it came to music.
Wow, that's great. So you have been working now at MSU since 2020. Obviously, you came in right about when COVID hit. But what are some of the more interesting projects that you have been working on during the time? Your time at MSU?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. I remember signing my letter of intent to come to MSU on March 2nd of 2020. And part of that acceptance was to partner with y'all to do Carmina Burana. And we were going to deliver that the next year, I believe. And then, of course, on March 9th or 11th, whatever it was, the world completely changed. And here we were. So I inherited this choral program that I was really hurting. You know, we were down to about 15 kids total in the entire choir program. We couldn't meet with our community choir because of COVID restrictions. And so the choir program was really on life support. I'm really happy to say that we're singing Carmina with about 80 singers. So we've grown almost exponentially in these 3 years through some real adversity. And I'm really proud of that. And I think some of the things that I'm most proud of are our community engagement, the fact that we're out here singing with the symphony. We're so proud of that. We've also worked with nonprofits around the community, including Backdoor Theater and Emily's Pet Legacy Rescue. And we've lifted up local businesses like Weightless Studios and Maniac's Mansion, all as part of our choral program. We really believe in engaging our community. We also believe in engaging other parts on campus. So I'm really proud of our collaborations that we've done across campus. The two I really wanted to highlight quickly. One is with the percussion ensemble in the Art Ceramic Studio. We have been commissioned by this therapy garden in Denver to provide soundscapes for a therapy garden. So we're doing this very cutting-edge choral aesthetic, immersive, improvisatory, very cool. and we're getting commissioned for that. And then the other project I really wanted to bring up is this project we're doing at Atterbury. You might recognize the old Atterbury Grain Mill, which is still in operation downtown, but the General Mills building next to it, which has been abandoned or empty a little bit for 40, 50 years. We are working on a documentary about the owner of that building and the art that happens inside of it. And we're doing a recording project out there with Professor Jonathan Quam, and we'll be the film score for that piece, or part of the film score for that piece. So watch for that project. It's beautifully shot, beautiful cinematography, and believe it or not, it's Carl Orff's Music for Children is what we're performing and what will be the background track of this piece.
That's so cool. I did not know all of that stuff that you're doing. That's really, really wonderful, and it's really great to see you integrate within the community and do projects that really involve not just the students at the university, but involves the broader community. Now, we spoke a little bit about Carmina Burana, which we're doing together. Can you, though, tell our listeners a little bit about the process that you went through or you're going through to prepare the choir, and maybe a little bit more about some of the challenges to bring all the community members into this choir and create a bigger, larger choir?
Yeah, thank you. We set out very intentionally when we knew this was our project at the beginning of the year that we had to have an event to kind of pull people together. We're still coming out of COVID. People were getting used to singing together in large groups again. And so we actually scheduled the Mozart Requiem in the fall as our precursor to this event. We reached out to all the local churches, all the local community choirs, and we tried to create this large project pool of singers that would then go forward and sing Carmina Burana in the spring. We sang Mozart Requiem with 64 in the fall, and here we're going to sing Carmina with 75, which is very exciting. Of course, 75 is five short of our goal. We wanted to sing 80, but that's pretty close. We're happy with 75. When you go sing Carmina, as it's meant to be sung, you want 120. So that's one of the challenges that we've talked about in preparing the choir. When you talk about our process has been, first and foremost, is to collect overtones, is to get the most overtones out of each instrument we have in that choir so that we can have a chance to balance the orchestra, because it's a large orchestra. But the second process-based thing that we've done is learn this text, these doubly dead languages of high medieval German and high German Latin. And that has been a challenge, a fun challenge. The singers have really risen to the occasion.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the challenge with Carmina Burana, you know, the text, and to get the pronunciation of the words, it's never really as smooth as one would expect. But you said it, it's fun and it's enjoyable typically for choirs. Now, when thinking about Carmina Burana, what are some specific things that audience members can be listening for if they have never heard this piece before?
Yeah, that's a great question. I want to highlight two things that really come to mind for me. The first is listen for Carl Orff as children's composer, as a music, elementary music pedagogue. Because, other than Carmina Burana, that's really what he's known for, is his work with children's music. And through that, you can literally listen for form and melodies in Carmina Burana. I think it's what makes it so successful. When so many composers in the 20th century were moving towards atonalism and moving towards serialism, Orff comes with glorified folk music, children's music that's set in a very complex harmonic and rhythmic way. But your ear can definitely hear it. So listen for form. You're going to hear repeated melodies. You're going to hear repeated harmonies. Of course, you can hear very different texts. That's the choir's challenge when it comes to all of this. But you're going to hear these things over and over. Even though they're melodies maybe you've never heard of, they're going to be in a folk-like manner. You're going to be able to understand them. You're going to be able to hear them and hear how this piece is structured. The other thing that I really think stands out that I want to talk about is percussion, right? And the development of the percussion. When we look at the development of the orchestra, and we start with, the Baroque Festival Orchestra, it's really just timpani. And by the time we get to the standard classical romantic orchestra, we've added some auxiliary percussion and bass drum and snare drum. But most of the other instrument families get all of the love. We've added timbres. The flute family extends to the piccolo. Brass family extends down to the ophicleide and the tuba, right? The bassoon and the contrabassoon happens, right? Bass clarinet, we extend all these timbres. But one thing that doesn't quite happen until the 20th century is the expansion of the percussion sound, right? And Orff is brilliant at the percussion sound. You're going to hear it used in amazing ways. But the one that I really like to point out is this concept of an ostinato. And this is this repetitive percussive rhythm melodic based even or harmonic based that will feel like a wheel turning. And you'll hear it throughout the whole piece. The work is about a wheel of fortune, right? And you hear the wheel turning thanks to Orff's brilliant use of percussion. Plus, they're very engaging performers to watch. They're going to be changing instruments. They're going to be playing big mallet percussion. Pay attention to the percussion.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. It's a great work, and it is accessible. And he manages to create a piece of music in the early part of the 20th century that is unique, fresh, and not really like anything else that was going on around that time with other composers. I, as well as the orchestra, are really looking forward to working with you and with the choir, and can't wait for it. So thank you very much for joining us today, Thomas. It was a pleasure to speak with you, and we are really looking forward to a wonderful and exciting concert. Join us in Memorial Auditorium on April 22nd for an epic grand finale performance of Carmina Burana with the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra and the MSU and community choirs led by Thomas Winninger. Also included on this concert is a world premiere of a piece that I've written to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra. The piece is entitled Trance, like trance music. Tickets are available now by calling the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra office. Also, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you can get new episodes as soon as they are released.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Behind the Music, hosted by Fouad Fakhoury of the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra. To check out more information about upcoming concerts and to purchase concert tickets, visit our website at wfso.org. That's WFSO.org. If you've enjoyed the show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for joining the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra as we have journeyed behind the music of our epic 75th Diamond Anniversary season. We're grateful for your support of our mission in the community, and we look forward to many more years of sharing great music with you. On behalf of all the WFSO, I'm Tim Williamson wishing you all the best, and we look forward to seeing you next season.